Check, check. Mel, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Hello? All right, good morning, everyone. Okay, so last week I went through with you just some historical context for this discussion to really help make sure that you understand that the idea of a rapture of the church predates John Nelson Darby and some of the other weird and kind of loony ideas about end times that came up in America and Great Britain, particularly in the 19th century. Because that is one of the main pushbacks that modern day pre-tribulation rapture thinking faces, is that this is just a recently found doctrine by Darby, particularly through the dream of a young lady that Cindy even remembered the name of, Margaret MacDonald. If you go on YouTube or you do some research, this is one of the main pushbacks you're going to face. And I wanted to share with you that this idea of a rapture, of a sudden taking away of the church, and that in particular, that the removal from God's judgment, those would be kind of the two points. Well, Darby created this heresy, they'll say, and that it is based on the idea of escapism, and that that's not biblical either. And those would be kind of the two things that get tossed out there. And I wanted to spend the time kind of setting the stage that that's, even if you do not find yourself agreeing with me and believing in a pre-tribulational rapture, and that's fine, there are other, I think, really serious and sincere efforts to interpret the Bible that don't come to that conclusion, that you dismiss the rapture because it's either a creation of some not well-educated preacher in the 19th century or because it's escapism, those are not fair critiques and not fair reasons to dismiss the idea of the rapture. And so we went through a number of different sources that you can find dating all the way back to 100 AD with Clement of Rome. And we went through there. We saw the big skip during the Augustine period and the early Catholic Church up until the Reformation. And we went into 1715 and ended with Marshall. I did leave out one that I found because I wrote it jumbled up on my notes here from a guy named Jay Perry from 1721 who said that in his writings that the dead saints and the alive saints would be caught up together and meet Christ in the air. So I had missed that one last reference. So today I want to talk to you about the rapture as presented to us in the scriptures and why I believe it's scriptural. But I want to start out by thinking about how a lot of end times material in particular, although perhaps other doctrines as well in the Bible, when we study the Bible, those who are excited, I'll give them that benefit of the doubt, about a particular teaching or doctrine can be so excited about it that they find it everywhere. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's here, it's here, it's here, it's here. And they can be careless. Okay? And I don't want to say careless in a harsh way, okay, but less than careful about using their Bibles to validate a certain viewpoint. And particularly when we talk about end times issues, eschatology, prophecy, people get really excited about it. I'm excited about it. It becomes really easy to just cast this wide net and see what we want to see everywhere we look. And we should be careful, all right? We should be careful as we use our Bibles, as we study, to not force things to appear where they aren't necessarily, and certainly not to use obscure passages to necessarily teach us something hard. And so when it comes to the rapture, what you can find for those who believe as I do, is they will have just loads of proof texts, and they'll use that as their main backing for teaching about this. I don't want to do that with you, okay? But I will say that as, and here's another example, non-rapture, non-eschatological example. We can talk about predestination, okay? And when I was doing the Romans series, we talked a lot about predestination, what that means, what God's foreknowledge means. When did he choose? Is it okay that God chooses? What about man's choice, right? These are all very difficult, hard doctrines. And if you were here for my Romans series, you remember that, you know, I shared with the group at the time, I had really been much more of a Armenian viewpoint of man's free will and choice, and had really rejected the ideas of predestination and other things as a young man. And it took a lot of research and a lot of being under the teaching of others and a lot of diligence to just like, okay, I need to sit and seriously contemplate these things. And as I came to a different understanding, the beautiful thing was suddenly a lot of other scriptures started to like, that I just kind of read over and not really paid much attention to, suddenly come to life. Because like, oh, this makes the rest of the scripture make a lot more sense now that beforehand that sort of made sense, but they weren't as alive. And now when you believe this, they kind of come to life. And with the idea of the rapture, I think that that's much the same, that I believe that as you come to a pre-tribulational viewpoint, you'll see so much of the rest of the scriptures just have a new life to them, and it becomes more exciting. But I don't say that then to use those individual passages necessarily then to prove the doctrine. Okay? So that kind of lay out where I want us to go this morning. So first, let's think about the idea of the rapture. The primary source for this is 1 Thessalonians, particularly chapter 4, and some into chapter 5. Okay? And there we see this word, harpazo, in the Greek. So let's turn there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Is that
X supposed to be a Z? Harpazo? Z doesn't exist in Greek.
Oh. Whoever I was reading must be wrong.
You want me to write up there?
No, in essence, I mean, a lot of English translations do use a Z, and I had a Z too, but I was asking the pastor about it, and the more correct older translation for the Greek would be to use the X. Oh, okay.
But that's not private interpretation. No, I'm just kidding.
I'd be happy to give you all a long history of how the alphabet came to be and certain letters and what's the most recent additions to the English alphabet. You know, if you watch Indiana Jones when he's doing the whole thing, the Last Crusade, and he's trying to spell Jehovah, right? And he steps on the J.
Yeah.
Well, he's right. Jehovah doesn't start with a J, but what's wrong about that scene is the letter J didn't even exist when that cavern was supposedly built. So, all right. Anyway, like I said, I could give you a whole long history on alphabets and calendars and whatnot, but we won't go there today. So, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, for you know that commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God who has also given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we command you, that you may also walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. And we're going to stop there to just set up some context. Paul and Timothy and Silas, is it Silas? Or, yeah, Silas. Yeah. They went on this journey. They come to Thessalonica. They establish a church there. Then persecution broke out. Paul had to flee the city. He went on to Berea. He went on to Athens. And in Athens, he sends Timothy back to check on the folks at Thessalonica. Sorry. And the report comes back from Timothy about how wonderful the church is doing. And he writes this letter. It's one of the few epistles that Paul writes where it's all commendation. You know, it's not like, wow, I can't believe you're doing these things. Galatians, I can't believe you've forgotten what I taught you. Corinthians, what's the matter with you? You know, it's like Thessalonica, you guys are just, it's amazing what God's doing there. Your love for each other and for everyone else is incredible. Continue on with what you're doing. Now he comes to verse 13, because there's this concern, right? They knew Christ was coming, but what about the ones who are dying? Paul, there's people, what's going to happen to the ones who love Jesus but are dead? You told us Jesus is coming back. And so Paul comes to them now and says in verse 13, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." And so here's Paul's message, right? Those who've gone to sleep, they are coming back. So they are going to receive what you yourselves are looking forward to receiving. "For this we say to you by word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." All right, so we see in verse 17, in the translation I just used, says caught up. Okay? Some of you might have